Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Take a listen to Tipperary Independent Councillor Liam Brown. He was telling Anton earlier this morning why he wants to phase out the USC.
Well, you know, for the past 5 years, we've been running budget surpluses, which means that we don't need to do a huge amount realistically to replace it, because we're saying we already are taking in more money than we need. Look, as you said, Anton, the USC was a temporary tax which was brought about during the financial crisis. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as I think a lot of people are concerned, especially anybody listening this morning, because anybody listening this morning is probably out on their way to work, you know, it's time has passed. You know, we think we've paid back what we owed during the financial crisis, and it's now time to start putting money back into ordinary workers' pockets.
Indeed, but you do still have to replace the lost earnings from it. So what way are you going to do that? Who's going to take up the slack in the tax bill?
Well, there's a couple of ways of doing it. First of all, as I said, we're taking in too much money from workers as it is, because we're running budget surpluses.
Yeah, so that's Councillor Liam Brown with Anton a little bit earlier this morning. My suspicion today, though, is that we're going to struggle to find people who disagree with him, you know, and who want to keep the USC and not abolish it. Independent economist Jim Power, though, is with us here on the programme today. Jim, can we now afford to get rid of the universal social charge?
Okay, a little bit of context here. On January 1st, 2011, the USC was introduced, and at the time, for two reasons. One, it replaced the income levy and the health levy. It was introduced at a time when the public finances were in serious crisis. We needed to raise more money, and it was important to broaden the tax base at that stage, because the tax base had become way too narrow. And then when the crisis hit, we had a serious problem. And at the moment, for somebody earning $50,000, say, they pay USC of 1,032. So it is a significant burden. The point is, though, that it raises around $5 billion on an annual basis. And that $5 billion is used to fund public services like health and social protection. And the problem, of course, is that public spending has grown enormously over the last number of years. Funding of that has become reliant on a lot of taxes, but particularly the USC. The councillor was talking about the budget surpluses we're running. I think that's a little bit naive, to be honest, because the budget surpluses here are pretty fragile. You know, we're still spending more than we're taking in taxation, but we are also contributing to those rainy day funds, you know, like the climate fund and the other funds, which is really important for the future sustainability of the economy. So I have no doubt about it. If the USC were to be abolished in the morning, the revenue would have to come from somewhere. And of course, the question is, where would it come from? It would mean higher taxes elsewhere, because I do not buy the argument that the surpluses we're running represent a sound enough argument to get rid of a tax.
So take a cautious approach then, Jim. Take a cautious approach then.
Yes, indeed. I mean, nobody likes taxes. And I guess of all the taxes that have been introduced, the USC is the one that's most hated. One of the attributes of the USC is that it did broaden the tax base. You know, it brought more people into the tax net. And that was very important at the time. But over time, the USC burden has been gradually reduced. And, you know, if you're earning less than 13,000 now, you do not pay, you're exempt from USC, for example. But the real point is we have to replace it with something else to raise that money.
But and we already have income tax, and we didn't benefit from any reduction in that in the last budget. So, like, you know, I suppose a lot of people just look at it like it's a second income tax, really, isn't it?
Oh, of course it is. And in fact, if you look at the Exchequer returns every month, they give a figure for income tax, including USC. So it is very much part, same thing as income tax. Absolutely. And the reason, I guess, why it's a separate tax heading from income tax is because it was introduced as a temporary measure. But the problem with a temporary measure in taxation is that the funding of public expenditure becomes dependent on that temporary measure. And then when you remove it, you know, where are you going to come up with the money?
Well, there's nothing temporary about it, really, is there?
No, there's not.
The reality of it. Jim, will you stay with us for a few moments? Because as you can imagine, there's listeners getting in touch and we want to hear their thoughts as well as your own. 1800 453 106, that is the number. Robert is with us on the line today. Robert, how do you feel about the universal social charge? Like, you've heard about this motion being passed now in Tipperary by the local authority after being put forward there by an independent councillor. But, I mean, if you were to get your USC rate back into your own back pocket every month, how much would that, like, would it help? Would it benefit you?
Absolutely, it would benefit me. It would benefit everyone, really. I don't think the USC on its own is what should be looked at. I mean, the USC obviously widens the tax net, but I think reduction of just tax rates, especially the top marginal tax rate, should it should be reduced. It was emergency. The emergency is over. We're out of the troika years, and it shouldn't really be a permanent fixture, because I just think you have a squeezed middle reality here. High tax payers paying top 40% rate, and it's actually higher than the EU peers. And when you add USC, PRSI, you're roughly 52%. You're effectively working more than half your week for the state if you're a high tax earner. And then it kind of falls back on double taxation. I mean, I suppose the high rate taxpayer doesn't usually has to get health care privately if they want to see a doctor within 3 years. They are paying their mortgages while others are getting social housing, education grants, all these different things, where the squeeze middle is essentially paying everything. So I think they need a reduction of their higher tax rate. But the USC should be kind of brought down as well. Maybe brought down at the lower rates or the lower entry points to benefit the lower paid people, so they're not paying it. And at the same time, increase the marginal tax rate that you go on to the higher income bracket. That would be my thought on it.
Papás, una pregunta rápida. ¿Cuándo fue el último examen visual de sus hijos? La miopía es cada vez más común en los niños, y no se trata solamente de necesitar lentes para ver mejor. Cuando no se atiende a tiempo, puede generar mayores desafíos para la salud visual en el futuro. La buena noticia es que un profesional de la salud visual puede detectar la miopía de forma temprana y recomendar opciones diseñadas específicamente para ayudar a manejarla. Una de esas opciones son los lentes Essilor Stellest. Los lentes Stellest fueron diseñados especialmente para niños y forman parte de un enfoque moderno para el manejo de la miopía, mientras ayudan a corregir la visión en el día a día. Se usan como unos lentes normales y están pensados para acompañar a los niños durante su crecimiento. Cada niño es diferente, por eso es tan importante comenzar con un examen visual profesional. Si tienes dudas sobre la visión de tus hijos, este puede ser un gran primer paso. Visita Essilor.com para conocer más sobre los lentes Stellest y encontrar un profesional Essilor Expert cerca de ti. Repito, Essilor.com, Essilor.com.
Is it even just the optics of the universal social charge and the fact that, you know, I've no doubt, and I can see from some of the messages coming in today, like, everyone points to the fact that this was a temporary emergency measure that was introduced 15 years ago, back in 2011. Is it just the optics even, Robert, of that?
I don't think it's the optics of it. I suppose it was probably a mistake to call it a temporary measure at the time. I mean, anytime the government increases what it's taking in, there'll always be someone with their hand out to try and, you know, fill that void. So they're never going to have that surplus to try and give it back. So it was probably a big mistake. And the optics of it, I don't really think so. I think it's time to just look at tax rates across the board. I mean, Ireland is a very egalitarian society. It does actually look after the vulnerable. And, you know, most people are in favour of that, especially people with disabilities. But as I say, this shouldn't be a haves versus have-nots discussion either. That's not what I'm kind of advocating here. I said, but the missing middle in Ireland, you know, families are working hard and they're getting taxed really high and they're not really getting value for money of the public services. And as I say, healthcare and housing, there's a massive disparity between someone who's having to pay private health insurance. And yes, you might say, okay, you know, you're in a privileged position to be able to afford that. But when it comes to mortgages and the news I just heard that house prices are going up by another 6%, And any time the government kind of spends money, I think that's, it's not, and it's not anyone's citizen's fault, it's the government's fault. Anytime the government starts giving out money or taking money, it ends up affecting us down the road. So, like, they're giving huge subsidies for property at the moment, and what's happening? Property prices are rising to meet it.
This is the first time buyers' grants
and
all of that.
Just, yeah. Okay, but less government is what we need.
But isn't this why, Robert? Isn't this why we have different bands? Like, this is why there's varying ranges of the rate of the USC which people pay.
Absolutely. Now, the top rate is extremely high. It's 8%. I think it's 8% over a certain income. And I mean, if you're taxed as a couple, you breach that fairly quickly. I mean, you know, industrial average wages are going to breach that USC, that higher USC bracket very quickly. So, for married couples or for families, they need to raise the USC higher rates. So it needs to take in, I suppose families should be looked after, especially families that aren't in receipt of social
transfers. Is that feasible, Jim Power? Like, are there other ways to make up any potential shortfall from the USC?
Well, there are many different ways. There's no doubt about that. But the problem is none of those ways are going to be popular. I mean, what the government has been doing over time, it has been gradually taking people out of the USC net and has been gradually reducing the burden. And I've no doubt on October 6th this year, there will be a further modest reduction in the USC. But I go back to my point. It is a major revenue earner. Public expenditure has grown strongly on the back of all the taxes we've been taking in, particularly on the corporation tax side. And of course, there is a vulnerability for Ireland. We're now so dependent on a small number of multinational companies that if anything were to happen to those companies, we would then have a serious hole in the public finances. So I totally agree with everything Robert is saying. And I mean, once you earn over 70,044, you go on an 8% USC rate. That is extortionate. Likewise, the 52% marginal tax rate we effectively pay once we earn over 44,000 is extortionate. But the point is that those taxes are being raised to fund public spending. Public spending has been going out of control for the last number of years. Even in the first 4 months of this year, we see serious overruns, particularly in areas like health. But the Social Protection Bill has also increased dramatically, despite the fact that the unemployment rate today is 4.7% compared to around 16% when the USC was introduced. So we spend the money. And if we want to continue to spend the money, we have got to raise the revenue somewhere. That's the question.
Another suggestion here from a listener who says, what about a wealth tax instead? Perhaps, have a tax on wealth rather than earnings. Would that maybe be a way to allow for the abolition of the universal social charge? Owen is on the line. Owen, what's your thoughts on this today?
I'm surprised that Jim or the other chap didn't actually mention that the high rollers, let's say those people over 150,000 a year, 200,000, 300,000, all the executives in the public service and the civil service, they've had their USC reduced from 11% down to 7%. Like, this is Alice in Wonderland stuff. What should be happening urgently? And why Jim Power, who is supposedly a right-wing economist, has not proposed...
a right-wing economist? I beg your pardon. Yeah. Why would you call me a right-wing economist?
I said a supposed right-wing economist.
Yeah, well,
excuse me, if you
don't...
Hang on, let Jim respond
there.
Let Jim respond there now.
I haven't made my point.
I know, but hang on a second. You're going to get personal without allowing the person to respond.
I've been following this guy for 30 years.
Jim, do you want to respond there? Jim Power is still with us, I think, on the line. Jim, do you want to respond?
No, I refuse to be labelled in an ideological manner. I treat every issue on its own merit. I would have left-wing views on some issues, right-wing views, but generally I would regard myself as a centrist. So for people to come on the line and describe me as a right-wing economist, I mean, I just don't accept that, to be honest.
Can
it's
I continue?
Cheap.
Owen, the point, Owen, that I'm asking you today is in relation to the abolition of the USC and this decision by the motion that's been passed by Tipperary County Council calling for the abolition of that. Do you agree with that?
If Jim Power was a centrist economist...
Hang on a second. Oh, that is, you're not here to give your thoughts and your opinions on one of our commentators and callers to the programme today. Like, what you think of Jim Power is utterly irrelevant. And regardless of that, Jim Power has clearly stated to you, and after years of, you know, credible experience working in the industry, in financial and economics affairs, is not a right-wing economist. And he has clearly said that himself. Jim, do you want to finally respond?
I don't agree. Sorry, you're going back to him again. I don't of the USC because it won't pass. If three or four councils approve this, it won't pass because of the economist industry that's out there. My proposal would be that and I'm surprised Jim Power did not propose this. My proposal would be to bring the 70,000 up to 100,000. Reduce the 7% down to 3.5% and to index link it so it goes up every year.
Simple as that. Would that work, Jim Power?
Yeah, well, it would work in the sense that that would be a progressive tax, but the tax is already progressive. It's a question of how much more progressive do you want to make it. I mean, the reality is that the top 10% of income tax earners in this country pay 40% of income tax and over 60% of USC. So the higher earners are already paying an inordinate amount of tax. So if you just want to increase the tax burden on the higher earners, yeah, go ahead and do it. Just see what impact it will have. Because at the end of the day, Ireland's multinational model is driven by relatively high earners. And foreign direct investment is mobile. And if the tax burden here for higher earners becomes too high, people will decide to invest and locate elsewhere. You know, people are mobile as well as capital. Mm.
It's even though, Jim, it's the politics of this too, though, isn't it? Like, I mean, it can come to some of the texts in a moment, but that's what a lot of the texters are saying today, is that they feel because it had been previously described 15 years ago as a temporary measure, that they feel there's, well, so some say, a lack of trust now in government.
Well, you know, when income tax was first introduced in Germany, it was introduced as a temporary measure. So, you know, that's what taxation has been like over history.
Okay. I think we've got James is with us on the line as well. 1800 453 106. James, you've been listening there today. So you're happy to pay the USC, is that right?
Well, the reality is, as previous calls mentioned, it is supposed to be a temporary one. You know, I think it was 2011 it was brought in. I'm in my 20s, so it was brought in before I was even earning and paying for it, and I've paid it my entire working life, so to speak. But I would want to pay tax, and I do see it. I see myself as a young person. I understand that being taxed stings. It does, especially when I've done overtime and you see the sting that comes with it. It's not pleasant to see your money getting taken out of your wages. But the reality is, I want disabled people who can't work getting taken care of. I want to see elderly people being taken care of. I want public services to function. But I would want to pay the USC. However, the conversation would need to be, what is the money being spent on? The wastefulness that we've seen, the infamous bike shed fiasco, $300,000 plus for a bike shed. And that is where the conversation needs to go. It's not whether or not we should even do away with USC. It's whether or not the money that is taken from workers, from young people, middle-aged people, etc., is being completely squandered in a lot of different ways. And I think that is a shame. So yes, I'd like to not pay it. I'd like to pay no taxes. But the question I have and the problem I have
is you're a realist
how
by
it's
the
being
of
used.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. It's the price I'd be willing to pay to take care of people who aren't able to work or who have paid their dues and have retired and should have services provided for them. I understand that.
Some of the texts on this, yes, the middle are completely being squeezed and still being unbelievably high rents, but can't afford to buy a house. 10 years renting now and it's still so expensive. Another listener tells me the whole mistake here was calling it a temporary tax in the first instance. It was a big mistake believing it as well. All tax is income tax. No matter how many different names you give it, you're still paying it out of your own salary each month as well. It is still another income tax. Am I right in thinking, and Jim, I'm far from an economist, but I was just looking at some of the figures today. If you were to take somebody on a salary, right, around say €50,000 salary, is the average USC they're paying about €1,000 a year?
It's €1,032.
So it's about 86 quid a month is what it's back.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, when you think of today's climate between electricity bills, you know, the tax credit not coming back into your pocket, rising fuel, like 86 quid a month. We were talking about this in the office today. Like, that's your holiday savings for the month. It's the electricity bill. It's the broadband and TV. It's, you know, the 86 euro in your back pocket will go far for people.
Absolutely. It's a lot of money. And I said that from the outset. It is a lot of money. But you think about, if you listen to the political discourse around the place, people want, you know, we had the example 4 weeks ago of the fuel protests and 750 million package. We hear every day calls for increased funding for SNEs, for various parts of the health service. The list goes on and on. But the reality is, if you are going to accede to those spending requests, many of which have strong validity, you are going to have to raise the money somewhere, okay? And the USC has become an important part of that funding. As I say, we collected around 5 billion in 2024. We don't have the 25 data yet that I can find, but around 5 billion, it's a lot of money. You know, that's the reality. And if you think about the budget that will be introduced on October 6th, there'll probably be tax giveaways of maybe 1.5 billion. You know, and you put that in the context of the 5 billion. So it's a lot of money. And if you, as much as you as many people dislike it, if you get rid of it, you have two options. You raise the money elsewhere or you cut public spending. That's the problem.
Keep the higher...
Can I just say one yeah, final point? I think what's really important as well, for people to get people to accept paying tax, they need to be given a clear idea of, number one, where the money is being spent, and number two, how the money is being spent. And the previous caller there, I think, summed it up really well. You know, people resent paying tax if they feel the money is being wasted, whereas they are prepared to pay tax if they believe that the money is being used for socially desirable purposes.
Yeah, and there's a few texts in actually on that as well. This listener says, keep the higher tax, of course, but increase the band for middle earners. Raise the higher tax band to, say, about 80,000 euro plus. It just adds some additional money into the pockets of families. I'm not a huge earner, but when I got a small bonus and see over half of it's gone in tax, I find it so disheartening. And I don't mind actually contributing at all, says this listener. Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com. For the moment, we leave it there. That is Robert, Owen and James as well with us, and also to independent economist Jim Power. Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.